dates for y'all: 1860, 1946, and 2004. 1860 is probably something you'll recognize, and it has to do with the time period. So just think about our history, American history. And if you're into flags, it involves this flag. South Carolina, that's a good guess. All right, what happened in South Carolina on this date in 1860? No guesses? This date in 1860 is the date that South Carolina declared independence from the United States of America. All right, and it's a date that's still celebrated in South Carolina, by the way. All right, the next date, 1946, and this is a seasonal event. And I was a little surprised at the date on this, but not tremendously. Yeah. Has a seasonal focus, kind of. All right, let's see. It involves this picture. It's a Wonderful Life. Was released in New York City on this date in 1946. All right, 2004, this one's really obscure, and I'd never heard of it before. So I'm not going to dwell on that very much, but it involves this item. Yeah, a lot of English currency. On this date in 2004, a gang of thieves stole 26.5 million pounds of currency from the Donegal Square West headquarters of the Northern Bank of Ireland in Belfast, Northern Ireland. That was the largest, and still is today, the largest bank robbery in the United Kingdom. 26.5 million pounds in 2004 is worth, in today's currency, about $55 million. So,
did they ever get it back?
I didn't follow it that far. But you're welcome to search that out and let us know next week. All right, today's National Day. There wasn't a whole lot. Today's National Day. It is National Go Caroling Day. So we can do that. You know, once upon a time, Christmas celebrations wouldn't have been anything without caroling, and it's kind of gone by the wayside, and certainly this year. But gather together with your household and do some carols today. It's also National Mud Day, M-U-D-D. Anybody guess this one or understand this one? You win. That's right. Dr. James Mudd, whose name was Mudd, treated Lincoln's assassin on the night that happened. He was tried and convicted for conspiracy, missed the death penalty by one vote, but was actually pardoned by Lincoln's successor. I guess he really wasn't. He wasn't involved. Oop, I went too far. Coming up. Oh, tomorrow, by the way. Let me go back another slide. What's that? That's not today. I'm going to go there, though. Tomorrow is really a day geared for me for as far as national days go. Tomorrow is Crossword Puzzle Day, National French Fried Shrimp Day, and best of all, it's National Humbug Day. Okay. So, and don't forget December 25th, which is Alphabet Day. And you all get this one? All right. I'll continue on. Let's open our time with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the time that you give us to gather together, especially during this season. We're thankful for friends and family and all that the season means to us. Help us to remember everything that occurred to make this season possible. Watch over us all and keep us safe. Help us to honor you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to talk about the wonder of Christmas this morning. It's not going to be a deep theological lesson, but just, you know, just something that I'd like to have a discussion. And I really want to focus on that word wonder. Wonder. I looked it up in the dictionary, and it has several meanings. One of them is a measure of doubt, or I wonder if kind of a thing. A feeling of doubt or uncertainty is the Webster's definition. So, you know, it's things like, I wonder if my house decorations are enough to win the neighborhood lighting contest. Well, that's not really my house. I have a few more lights than that. I'm kidding. I don't have hardly any. The other definition, and the one I want to focus on, has to do with the meaning of wonder or awe, a rapt attention or astonishment at something awesomely mysterious or new to one's experience. This feeling of awe in this season, I think, which was prevalent, you know, it's like a child sensing or seeing Christmas decorations early, and that sense of awe. And I like this picture because it just really captures that meaning of wonder. And the Christmas story, turn in your Bibles to Luke. We're going to be there quite a bit. Surprise, surprise. We're also going to be in Matthew a little bit, so keep those two in mind. But I want to start out with Zechariah. And Zechariah, when he was visited by the angel in the temple, had a sense of awe and wonder. He was scared. And in verse, you know, the story's found in Luke 1, verses 11 through 20. Now an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel. Awed by seeing this angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." And Zechariah later in verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in her years." So he wondered about the words that he had heard. He had wonder at this time. And Mary as well was visited by an angel. And further down in Luke 1, verses 28 through 34, an angel appeared to Mary, and coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, for the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of David forever. And his kingdom will have no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" She wondered about the message that the angel brought her, but everything came about as the angel said, and she gave birth to a son. And Joseph also had an angel visit him in a dream, and Joseph was in awe and wondering about this as well in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah was as follows. His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his deep sleep and did as the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. So Joseph, in this visitation, was awed and wondered about this. After the birth of Jesus, what's the next event that really took place? And that would have been the shepherds in the fields. And how much awe and wonder must they have felt in the visions and things that they saw? The shepherds, you know, wondered about the angels in the sky and the message that they had sent. Going back to Luke 2, verses 13 through 15. I'll start at verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terribly frightened. And so the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David has been born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly army of angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace with whom he is peace among people with whom he is pleased." When the angels departed from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So the shepherds took that wonder, put it into action, and went into the city to see the child that had been born. And as they went through the town, they told the people of the town about the visions that they had seen. They shared that wonder with the people, and the people in the town of Bethlehem had to wonder about what the shepherds had told them that the angels had said. So they also must have been in wonder, wondering, what did they really mean? You know, what does this message mean? What does all this mean? So they, you know, in Luke 2, 17 through 18, it says this: when they had seen him, when the shepherds had seen him, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it in the city of Bethlehem were amazed about the things which were told them by the shepherds, how the angel told them they would find the babe, how they went to the town and actually found the babe lying in a manger. And all who heard it were amazed and wondered about these things. And Mary and Joseph also, all these things that were happening to them at such a birth of a child, while special, I mean, what's magnificent, what's awesome and wondrous about it? Well, it is an awesome and wondrous event, but when it involves the child of God, the Christ child, it's even more so. And all the things that were being said about this child, Mary had to wonder about everything that was happening and said about her child and her baby. Luke 2:19 puts it this way: Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart, the wonder that she felt at the things that were being said about this child by the angels, by the shepherds, by people who would come to just catch a glimpse of the child, had to make her wonder. And that sense of wonder is something that really, as we're seeing, is involved in this story so much. And even later, when Mary and Joseph took the child to Jerusalem, a man named Simeon was there. And he had been told by God that he would not die before he saw the Christ, the child. So in Luke 2, verses 25 through 32, it tells Simeon's story. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are letting your bondservant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." This was the promise of God, and Simeon recognized the prophecies concerning the child and what he would be. And he was given a special gift to be able to see that child before he died. And he was in awe and wonder about everything that was happening and gave God the glory, gave God the glory. And Mary and Joseph, through all of this, also, you know, continued to wonder. Mary and Joseph marveled at these words prophesied by Simon about their baby in Luke 2, verses 33 and 35. And his father, Christ's father and mother, were amazed at the things which were being said about him. They were amazed at all of these things that were being said. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and as a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul to the end, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Christ had a future. Simeon prophesied about that future to Mary and Joseph, and Mary and Joseph were in awe and marveled at the things that were being said. Anna the prophetess was also there. And, you know, there was a, in Luke 2, 36 through 38, there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She did not leave the temple grounds, serving night and day with fasts and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak about him to all those who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. You know, the people in the temple that day had to have heard the words that were said about this child and wonder and think about all of these things that are being said about this, just this small baby who was being brought in like babies were brought in all the time. But this one was different because of the things that the prophet Simeon and the prophetess Anna said about these children, this child. Another event that we read about in the Bible surrounding this story is the story of the Magi and the star. Going back to Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For from you will come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went on ahead of them until it came to a stop over the place where the child was to be found. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They were awed, they were in wonder, and they came into the house, and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And after being warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. So the Magi must have wondered about the meaning of the star they saw while they were in the east. They researched very carefully and found the old Hebrew prophecies and knew, based on the teachings of the Hebrew prophets, what the meaning of the star was. And they searched for and found the baby, brought him gifts. And they also wondered about the dream that they received about Herod, and they followed the instructions of the angels and went back a different way. Joseph must have wondered when he was visited by another angel who warned him about the actions that Herod was about to take place, warned Joseph to take Mary and Jesus and to flee to Egypt to avoid Herod and what he was about to do. Matthew 2, verses 13 through 15. Now when they had gone, speaking of the Magi, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt and stay there, for I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." This must have caused Joseph to wonder. And the visitations by angels, I mean, how many of us would not be awed and wonder and quake and fear if we had a direct visitation of angels? But Joseph obeyed. Joseph was obedient and did what he was supposed to do. Joseph took the child and Mary, and they went to Egypt, where they stayed until the danger from Herod had passed. Now, all of this wonder and awe surrounding the Christmas story, just, you know, we saw that picture of the child in the beginning, and so many people involved in this story have had that same sense of wonder as we read the story, as we look at the things that are said. You know, all of these people had that sense of awe and wondered. And even today, you know, we can not wonder in a sense of doubt, but wonder, what does it all really mean? We've gone through some studies in the Sahar about what certain things mean. So what does all this mean? What was all this for? You know, what was this wondrous event? What does it all have to do with us? And we can go and, you know, wonder what it was all about. But what it was about was this. God and John, or Jesus in John 3:16, John tells us this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, sent him to earth to be a man, to fully man and fully God, that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life." And eternal life here is defined as, you know, life apart from God is not life, that's death. Death is living separately from God. So eternal life is living life in the presence of God. Whoever believes in this child, whoever believes in him, shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, didn't come as a judge, but to save the world through him. Through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, that's the message of the birth of Christ. The birth and the cross are so tied together, they're one and the same event. Christ came to earth to pay the penalty for all sins, to live that righteous life. And if I think back about that child in that earlier picture, you know, Jesus himself made the comment that, you know, for such as these, for the kingdom of God of heaven belongs to such of these. We need to approach Christ in this season with that same sense of wonder so that we can have faith like that of a little child, the innocence of that child and the trust that that child has for the things of God. That needs to be our spirit as we go through this season. And I'm only bringing all of this up because I think we need to recapture that sense of wonder at this season. I think it's an important element of this season, and there's so many miracles talked about in this story that I think God wants us to have that sense of wonder as we approach this time. Wonder, that faith, that wonder, that innocence like that of a little child, for such is the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And I want to say that the magic of Christmas is yours, can be yours. It's in reach, but you only have to believe. Mark 5:36, but Jesus, overhearing, spoke to the synagogue official. This is a story where Jesus was going to heal a synagogue official's child who died. They were met with news on the way that the child had died. But Jesus responding said, "Only believe." And that's our message too. You know, so many times in Scripture, and you've heard different ways of the gospel message being presented, you know, how simple it is. You know, one popular radio and television evangelist, you know, says it's easy as ABC. Well, it's easier than that, folks. All you need to do to be a member of God's family is to believe. Only believe, and that's the message here. Only believe. There's such a close tie between this time and the time of the cross that they're really connected. You know, all we need to do is believe, and we can have that eternal life that Christ is only available through the sacrifice of Christ, that forgiveness of sins. The angel said, you know, that message is in the Christmas story as well. The angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior." He didn't come just to be a special baby. He came to be a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And in the message, in Zechariah's song, or Zechariah's message, "You child," speaking of his son John, "you child will also be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, which is the sunrise from on high, with which the sunrise from on high he will visit us." And the message of Simeon the prophet: "Now, Lord, you are letting your bondservant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples." God did not hide this plan. "You have prepared in the presence of all the peoples a light for the revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of the Lord, your people, Israel." So as we go through this season, let us wonder. Let us capture that wonder of this season. I'm going to end very early, and we'll have some expanded time of fellowship. But just as we go through this coming week, this Christmas week, let's capture that wonder just a little bit in our hearts and our minds and as we deal with one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,